Calderón, el Premio Nacional de Derechos Humanos en 2010. La Organización Mundial de Comercio se reúne para debatir una reforma interna ante las medidas proteccionistas de Estados Unidos. Rubén Carceller amplía la información.
Es un panorama que es bastante alertador, ¿no?, por cómo están las relaciones internacionales, pero a pesar de eso, Donald Trump se muestra optimista después de las últimas conversaciones que ha habido entre las dos partes. Dice que son muy productivas y, de hecho, que va a hacer un anuncio, no se sabe cuándo, pero que va a ser algo prometedor también. Todo esto en un marco, ya sabemos, de esta pausa de los 90 días en la guerra comercial, que se va a terminar el 1 de marzo y hasta el momento pues ya está teniendo algunos resultados. Crecen las exportaciones desde China casi un 10%, mientras que caen las importaciones un 25%. Todo esto teniendo en cuenta que desde el gigante asiático denuncian que están en una situación complicada y que les está poniendo en un terreno hostil. Y es que tenemos que recordar que no solamente para China está teniendo consecuencias esta guerra comercial, sino incluso para los propios empresarios estadounidenses. Ha habido unos aranceles de hasta el 104%. Esto está bien para el gobierno, pero no para las empresas, que están teniendo unas pérdidas de 6.200 millones de dólares adicionales que no tendrían si no estuvieran inmersos en esta guerra comercial. Según los expertos, esto puede tener también consecuencias a largo plazo. Incluso podría llegar a tener una pérdida en el PIB de Estados Unidos. Algunos productos que parecen curiosos, pero que también están dentro de esta guerra comercial, son las aceitunas españolas. Ha caído la producción un 72% después de que los aranceles se sitúen hasta el 35%, algo que al bueno sí que está siendo bueno para Estados Unidos, porque la producción de este producto en California ha subido en el mes de septiembre un 10%. En todo el periodo se ha colocado hasta el 2,3%, pero vemos que la tendencia es a crecer. En todo el mundo, ahora mismo, por los Estados Unidos, hay 122 investigaciones vinculadas al comercio, hasta en 31 países que están afectados por ellas y que, consecuentemente, pues se están moviendo unas cantidades que son millonarias y que, como advertimos, pueden tener consecuencias también para la economía global y para nuestros bolsillos.
En Quito se celebró la audiencia del recurso de Julian Assange contra el restrictivo protocolo sobre su estancia en la Embajada de Ecuador en Londres. La apelación denunciaba una vulneración de derechos humanos con la aplicación de un régimen dictaminado a finales de octubre por un juez ecuatoriano que establecía normas para las visitas, comunicaciones, cuidados médicos y salubridad. El abogado de Assange en Ecuador, Carlos Poveda, nos ofrece detalles sobre la audiencia.
El procurador general del Estado ha ratificado que existen las garantías suficientes para que Julian Assange pueda entregarse a las autoridades británicas. Se ha juzgado por el delito que lo están investigando en Gran Bretaña y que no le ocurriría nada. Es más, dijo que había un documento oficial en el que el Reino Unido se comprometía a no extraditar a un tercer país donde haya condena de muerte. Frente a esta nueva apreciación y aseveración, nosotros habíamos manifestado dentro de esa audiencia que se exhibe el documento. Si nosotros queremos ver, queremos analizar el documento que el Reino Unido realiza ese compromiso al Estado ecuatoriano. No tenemos esa seguridad que manifiestan las autoridades del Ecuador de la contestación del Reino Unido. Lo que estamos coordinando es básicamente que se pueda recurrir al sistema interamericano. El Ecuador es parte del sistema interamericano y, por lo tanto, tanto la Comisión como la Corte Interamericana de Derechos Humanos podrían tener competencia en este caso.
Aquí concluye esta edición del Informativo Pacífica. Agradecemos la colaboración de RT, de Telesur, de Radio de Naciones Unidas, del Informativo Farco, de Hispan TV y del diario La Jornada. A nombre de Norma Martínez, se despide tu amigo de siempre, Fernando Velázquez. Gracias por acompañarnos.
cha-cha-cha d'amour. Take this song to my lover. Shoo, shoo, little bird. Go and find my love. Cha-cha-cha d'amour. Serenade at her window. Shoo, shoo, little bird. Sing my song of love. Tell her I will wait. Well, if she names the date, tell her that I care more than I can bear. When we are apart, how it hurts my heart. So fly, oh fly away, and say I hope and pray this lover's melody will bring her back to me. Cha-cha-cha d'amour.
Sorry, so we interrupt the regular programming. DJ Nurse Annabella right here. You're tuned in to Free Radio Santa Cruz.
Beat on the brat, beat on the brat with a baseball bat. Oh yeah, oh yeah, oh ho.
I want to let you know about something that needs to happen real soon. You got to save Free Radio. Yes, we need a new studio. We need it to be economical. It doesn't have to be a big place. It could be a small room. We'd like to have access to a bathroom. If the whole thing is clean and dry and has electricity, that's a real plus for us. Somewhere between the West Side and 41st Avenue, maybe part of your garage, or we could put a shack in your backyard. We'll consider pretty much any solution you can come up with. We're 20 years old. We're a community-supported pirate radio station. We've received official recognition 3 different times for our public service over the last 20 years, and we're offering a $300 reward to anyone who get us a studio that we can use for at least a year. So send that email to frsc@freakradio.org. That's frsc@freakradio.org. Or you could send mail to FRSC PO Box 7811, Santa Cruz, California, 95061.
And coming up next on Free Radio, it's the December 13th, that's Thursday the 13th, edition of Bathrop Spears Broadsides, 2 hours with me talking at you. Looking over the last shitty council meeting of day before yesterday, where the city essentially gave a
a green light to landlords to begin evicting tenants through not extending the rent freeze or even attempting to extend the rent freeze and just eviction protection, although they did set a date or an agenda item for the January 8th session down the road, which leaves the landlords plenty of time to raise rents and evict tenants who had previously been protected from the February City Council freeze and suspension. More on that and lots of other things coming your way, so stay tuned.
I'm tired of moon songs, of star and of June songs. They simply make me nap. And ditties romantic drive me nearly frantic. I think they're all full of pap. History's making, nations are quaking. Why sing of stars above? For while we are waiting, Father Time's creating new things to be singing of. Sing me a song with social significance. All other tunes are taboo. I want a ditty with heat in it, appealing with feeling and meat in it. Sing me a song with social significance, or you can sing till you're blue. Let meaning shine from every line, or I won't love you.
I'm going to begin the show with a few announcements. Some of you regular listeners may remember Julia Vinograd. That's the poet who recently died up in Berkeley. Street poet, sort of the, I don't know if she was the poet laureate or the official poet or the poet who got a pat on the back from the Berkeley City Council. She certainly got a number of pats on the back from me for many of her poems, which were moving, original, sharp, and very much sort of down, gritty level, nitty-gritty street level, I guess what I'd say. She published over 50 to 60 books, and if you want to read the number of books she published or get a kind of an idea of her, well, you can get a listing of all the titles. I put it up on the Santa Cruz Indie Bay website, actually on the East Bay website, but you can find it just by going to indiebay.org/Santa Cruz. That's indiebay.org/SantaCruz.org, and then just search for Vinograd, and you'll find this lengthy listing of all her books. I believe a few of them are in the Santa Cruz Library. Some of them are online with Street Spirit newspaper at www.thestreetspirit.org, though I guess they're not publishing more recent stuff from Street Spirit. I think they've only reached through August, but I don't know if she wrote anything that was published after that, at least on Street Spirit. You can find a lot of her stuff on YouTube, as I mentioned in previous shows. And also, if you want to hear her readings on my past radio shows, which have been happening for the last 10 or 15, maybe 20 years, she's been occasionally on the show, at least once a year, usually. If you go to the HuffSantaCruz.org website, that's the Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom, the Huff website, and then click on the show or go to the section that talks about this show, which is called Bathrobes, Pierres, Broadsides, and then click on the descriptions segment of that. You can, by putting in her name, find some of her actual original readings. But you can see her reading and hear her reading on YouTube just as well. So you might want to go there if you want to remember some of her poems or just order a book of hers. I don't think it's, well, you can probably find it on Amazon. I hate referring anyone to Amazon. Maybe they're selling it at the Guillotine or, God help me, the Bookshop Santa Cruz, which I can't really recommend you go to because I've been boycotting that store since 1994 when its owner and management, at least they remain silent, on Neil Coonerty, who was at one time mayor and then that year city council member, supported the really viciously anti-homeless downtown ordinances, which have been used since for 24 years, to harass poor and homeless people on the streets sitting near a business or near a curb or near a bench or anywhere, essentially on anything but about 0.05%, well, let's say 0.5% of the sidewalk. That's 1/200th of the sidewalk. And that, of course, doesn't happen mechanically and systematically, but it does happen at the whim of any police officer or so-called ranger under police direction. And, of course, people are being harassed by... are they being harassed by ambassadors? That's the new so-called hosts that wander around and give instructions. I haven't got a lot of clear information on that, but I believe there's been some suggestion that they are not exactly just helpful to tourists, but also replacing the old eyes and ears of the police function of the older hosts who we got rid of some years ago to be replaced by security thugs and then rangers and now the ambassadors. If you're really interested in Julia Vinaigrette, I have some of her books, and I'm happy to sell them to you and give the proceeds to either Food Not Bombs or Huff or, I don't know, perhaps the Day and Night Storage Project. I'm going to try to get Brent Adams on the phone today, which we'll see if he responds. Brent is a voluble guy, and one can never tell what mood he'll be in. We had a meeting at the Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom regular time. We've been holding more frequently recently, weekly for a little while. Maybe we may go back to our twice-a-month schedule at the Sub Rosa on Wednesday on 11 o'clock, if you're interested in those meetings. We were talking about a coalition between tenants and homeless, because the Santa Cruz Tenants Association, represented by Cynthia Berger, came to our meeting to talk about strategies for dealing with the reality of the city council not having passed the rent freeze again, not having extended it, in spite of the four-person majority. And we talked about a coalition. I quickly got an email from Brent denouncing us for using the word coalition, claiming that we were trying to falsely give the impression that we were representative of homeless people when it was his group that was working on the coalition to support homeless people. And indeed, I think he is, and I think we are. Yeah, it ticked me off enough to mention it on the air about this, but I'm hoping that these little spats will pass, because Brent's a very good source for information for a number of things, and also he's one of the only decent service providers in town. He actually does go out there, and he's established storage services, warming center services, that, you know, serve a limited number of people, but they are much less exclusionary and restrictive than the more well-funded services run by the city and the county. In fact, I'm going to try right now to give him a call on the phone. So we're giving him a ring right now and seeing if he's around. That sounds like he's not receiving calls at the moment.
3158809 is not available. At the tone, please record your message. When you finish recording,
you may hang up or press 1 for more options. Hey, Brent, this is Robert calling you from the recorded edition of Bathrop's Pierre's Broadsides. Well, we're waiting for your report if you want to check in with us and let us know what's happening. I've told listeners that we may have had a little rocky exchange now and then, but that you still have been a good source of information. Please prove me right. Give me a call. Thanks. So we'll see if he does. So another thing happening actually right now out in Aptos, at the Aptos Library, I guess it is what's being called an Aptos, a Poor People's Town Hall in Aptos. And this is mentioned on Santa Cruz Indie Media, which I often go to for information, and often post on. The Aptos Public Library is at 7695 Soquel Drive in Aptos. It's near the old Aptos Shopping Center, a block or two Santa Cruz side. I actually think it's a block, one block before you get to the Aptos Shopping Center, at least unless they've moved it. And it's described as follows, this event. Join the Santa Cruz County Poor People's Campaign for our first Poor People's Town Hall in Aptos. The Poor People's Town Hall will take place each month in a different city within Santa Cruz County. These events will be an opportunity for poor people to come and connect with the movement, sing together, struggle together, hear about the work that is being done in their areas to address poverty, and hear testimonies from poor people in their area about their experiences and the need for change. Community members who attend will also have the opportunity to ask questions, make comments, and share their own testimonies of being poor in Santa Cruz County. To learn more about the fundamental principles, you can go to a link, and you can check out coverage in the Sentinel by going to the Sentinel website, and you can register your organization for a seat at the Pathfinder table by completing the registration process. And usually I'm too late or too preoccupied to get involved with that for Huff, but it's probably a good idea. And if anybody, if any Huff members hear this and want to wander on out to the Aptos Library, check it out and represent Huff there. See, let them know what we're doing and find out what they're doing. So we're going to give Drew Glover a call because he's with the Poor People's Campaign or has been in the past. And he also, of course, is a new city council member. And he may be available. Hello? Good, Drew. This is Free Radio calling in. I'm just wondering if you have any info about the Poor People's Campaign happening at Aptos today.
Yes, this evening from 6 to 7:30, we'll have some interactive easel boards for people to engage with from 6 to 6:30, followed by the welcome and introductions to the campaign. We'll have a panelist. They're speaking about some issues. If you're interested in coming out and representing Huff, then that would be great. We have an open spot on the panel. Right now we have a representative from Indivisible and someone coming to talk about the importance of sustainable transportation with regards to poverty and access. But we don't have anyone representing homeless advocacy or housing advocacy. So would be interested if you want to come out. Unfortunately, Brent, who was coming for the Warming Center, and the representatives from Food Not Bombs had scheduling conflicts, so they weren't able to join us.
Yeah, I got the same problem. I'm doing a radio show at that time, or preparing for one. Actually, we're doing it now, but it broadcasts at 6. Let me ask you, can you... You know, you've been working on these issues as well as this political campaign that you just won. Anything you've seen in the last couple of weeks that's particularly struck you about, you know, which has emphasized what you think should be the priority? I don't mean for the city council. I have no particular confidence in the council, no offense to you. But for activists outside in the field that should be working on issues that you think are of high priority or things that have particularly struck you and moved you in the last couple of weeks. Right, there are a couple of things happening about, you know, that, I guess, coming up tomorrow, you know, local protests.
And also individuals from the different groups have gone down there. I spoke with Keith McHenry at Food Not Bombs, is planning on going down there to help serve meals and everything. So all of that's really promising and awesome. I'm actually, unfortunately, in the middle of getting prepared to go, so I can't really dig too deep into all these topics. But tonight we will be adding a new addition to the campaign structure with the Poor People's Campaign, in which we're going to be partnering from now on moving forward with the Second Harvest Food Bank to be able to offer people access to sign up for the SNAP food stuff, as well as having some fresh vegetables and produce to be able to distribute at the town hall.
That sounds good. In the next minute and a half, do you have anything you've seen locally? Because, I mean, that's local, that distribution. But something you've seen that needs to be addressed immediately in Santa Cruz that the council perhaps can't or won't address, but that activists might be able to at least shine the spotlight on?
I mean, really disappointing on Tuesday to see the decision from the outgoing council with regards to rent control and rent stabilization. So that kind of work around eviction protections for vulnerable renters and sleeping outside of housing and people experiencing homelessness and sleeping outside in the bitter cold. It's been incredibly cold and will continue to get colder. Those kinds of issues. The work that's been done by the storage program is great. So rallying around models like that to be able to alleviate people from having to carry their things around and figuring out how to expand the warming center program, the kind of idea or premise, and offering more warm beds and shelter spaces.
I'm going to be actually playing the conversation we had at City Council, and I'm sorry you didn't take my urging that you at least raise the issue of an emergency ordinance when you had the opportunity right after you were initiated. Is there a reason you didn't do that, asking that the rent freeze be expanded?
Because I'm not familiar with the process.
I got you.
And that was the first time that it had been brought up to me.
Oh, boy.
I would operate on a knee-jerk reaction without knowing the process.
Well, feel free to call me any time to get my advice on this issue.
Great. And then also, while it's unfortunate that there will be this window of time between that meeting and the next one, Sandy was able to get the next meeting pushed to January 8th, I believe, which is when we revisited those issues.
Anybody being evicted that you know about in the next week or two? Because that would be something that people could try to mobilize around. Let us know if you do, because I think that would be a high-profile opportunity if you want to, raise it.
I will, yes, absolutely. Whether it's the landlord is selling the house or whether he's just trying to transition out at the end of the lease, since now he doesn't have anything stopping him.
I'll let you go because I know you're busy, but, I'll try to see if anybody can get down to Aptos. If I'd heard about this sooner, I might have done something more, but who knows? Maybe the next time around we can do something, and I'll be back to try to get a report from you on anything else that is coming down the pike.
Sounds good, my friend. Thanks for doing the work.
Hey, thank you. And you take care, man.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And that was Drew Glover, who's I've heard him dismissed as all puff and no substance by some. Some of the people who are dismissing him have received a similar critique from me. But the one thing I got to say about Drew is he is accessible by phone. And that maybe it's just because I like talking on the radio, but that I find to be of use. And I'd like to know from other people whether they are finding him accessible by phone as well. Most council members are not accessible by phone. Sandy Brown has been somewhat accessible, though I found, unfortunately, as regular listeners well know, unreliable in most of the promises she's made and repeatedly made. But why go into that again at the moment? Probably go into it later just to stay abreast of the issue. So now it's musical break time, and break we will.
listen, listen. I mean, give me a break.
And that was Trump is an Asshole by Jane Parchak Productions. You know, I mean, I suppose that a number of folks who voted for him, well, they might not even disagree with that, but they would maybe suggest he's their asshole, and his asshole is, at least has got an honest stench compared to the hypocrisy of the Democratic Party's asshole. It's hard to, it's hard to tell them apart, because even though Trump talks a bit differently and sounds a bit differently, and his style is certainly different than prior decorous presidents, the people pulling the strings, I suspect, are the same large corporate interests. We have the same foreign wars, the same massive military budget, the same corporations in control. It's, and, you know, intensified anti-immigration activity, as Drew was referencing. But, you know, Obama was no friend of immigrants. I mean, it's a mistake to believe that Trump's policies are a fundamental change in terms of the really basic direction. I mean, I've been talking about this, and, of course, this is a standard lefty line for a lot of us lefty folks, which is that even people like Bernie Sanders, who talk, oh, you know, national health and anti-bankster rhetoric and even anti-bankster proposals. And, you know, let's stop the war in Yemen, at least by somewhat defunding the Saudis somewhat. I'm not even quite sure what the substance of that Senate resolution is. I got to look at it more closely. It's coming up on the floor. I guess it's next week. I think it's next week. Maybe it's this week. I think it's next week. But you can't do anything if you have a huge military budget and a massive foreign wars, and you're not going to take a real stand against that. And that's something that, you know, all the socialist talk in the world essentially crumbles and means very little if you're not going to have the financial support to back it. And if you're going to turn around and back Clinton after she steals the Democratic Party nomination and then wants to blame it on the Russians and on Trump, you're not my idea of a working class hero, I got to tell you. And then the guy will win who, or the woman will win, in this case it was a man, who shrieks most loudly and makes a clearest differentiation between themselves and the kind of the previous style of doing things, since it all, to some extent, is a matter of style rather than substance. And a lot of the American electorate knows it, so they don't even turn out to vote. So I've mentioned, and you heard Drew Glover mention, the Poor People's Candidate or Campaign, sorry, at the Aptos Public Library at 6695 Soquel Drive in Aptos. That's happening. It's happening now, or now means starting at 6 Thursday night. Tonight. You can check that out. Tomorrow, as I believe Drew may have mentioned, or maybe was trying to mention before I interrupted him, there's a solidarity walk for caravan asylum seekers starting at 5 o'clock and running until 6:30. And that is going to be, if I can find it without losing my place again, let's see here. at the town clock, Water and Pacific, downtown Santa Cruz. We have a duty, says the rhetoric here, to stand up and speak out to demand justice and safety for asylum seekers. Will you join us? Tenemos el deber de levantarnos y exigir justicia y seguridad para los solicitantes de asilo. Solicitantes de asilo. ¿Te unes a nosotros? Will you join us? That's my attempt at Spanish. Amplifying the voices of the asylum seekers, the Caravan Solidarity Walk. Again, 5 o'clock tomorrow, Friday, December 14th. You can get more information on Facebook. And also tomorrow at the same time, there is a workshop at 6 p.m. at the Resource Center for Nonviolence, 612 Ocean Street, for Lava May. That's a workshop on setting up a mobile hygiene center in Santa Cruz. That's the attempt to get showers available for people who are outside, haven't got, you know, maybe they may be able to rush over to the St. Francis Soup Kitchen on weekdays and get a shower, but they aren't allowed access, as far as I know. I should get more information on that. In the Homeless Lack of Services Center. You might be able to get in there now. I'm not sure. I spoke to a person who, well, both people who work there and those who are clients there. I'm not going to say which one. I want to preserve the identities of the folks involved there. There's some concern about retaliation there. There may be access to showers now, although I've heard opposite information. You can't even get access to a toilet in there if you aren't a member of their campus, their program, their signed up list. I've also heard it said, this time from an employee, that the waiting list to the Pauley Loft is open. That is to say, although it's not necessary anymore, supposedly, because in the past, getting on the waiting list of either the Pauley Loft or the River Street Shelter would mean that if the cop came along and awoken you at midnight, gave you a ticket, told you to move on, giving you no place to go to, and then having you sign a promise to appear in court, that ticket would then be dismissed if, at the same time, you had remembered to go down to the Homeless Lack of Services Center or to call the River Street Shelter and get on the waiting list. You can't call the Pauley Loft Homeless Lack of Services Center to get on their waiting list. You have to go in and fill out papers, according to the employee I talked to. But according to on the River Street Shelter, you were able to call in, and I used to give out a little flyer with that number, 459-6644 was their number. Perhaps it still is, 459-6644. But about a month or two ago, I learned from an employee there that they've closed their waiting list, and they don't do that anymore. Now, maybe they've reopened it again. But in any case, as I said initially, this is kind of irrelevant because under the Boise v. Martin court decision, if enforced here, and that's not entirely clear, that does seem, though, recent research that we've been doing, yesterday some of us from Huff went down to the police station and finally began to look at the records that the police had been holding up and declining to release to us, but we finally got released, but we have to go through them individually, one by one. We're looking to see if there are stay-away orders on the records, which they refuse to put in their summary. You have to look at the individual citations and what the race of the person who is cited for being in a closed area after dark, one of the most frequent citations in the Parks and Rec sets of citations we looked at some months ago or some weeks ago. Because the race matter is an important issue for us. For one thing, I mean, let's be candid here. It's a hotter issue. And it's one which motivates perhaps more steam and maybe possibly more response than a homeless issue, although they're equally important. Discrimination against any group of that kind, particularly homeless people, that's the one I've been beating the drum around for decades, is particularly important. But if you're black these days, it's not that you have a better chance. You probably have a worse chance in a way than depending on what your, what really depends on what your economic status is rather than your, well, your race is of course important too, but within that racial group, if you're well off, you're going to be in a slightly better position than if you aren't. Though the racial factor, you can get shot just as dead by an errant police officer who's unaccountable for what she or he does as if you're poor. But I think that poor people are more likely to come into conflict with the police if you're black than wealthier people. But, you know, that's speculation or sort of generalization on my part without any sort of fact-based or evidence-based information. In any case, we were at the police station trying to determine, to complete the records that Chief Mills refuses to complete. He insists that we go do it by hand ourselves. He doesn't want to put the race on the summaries he puts out of the tickets. I mean, you can find out everything else. You can find out the address. You can find out the officer. Find out the charge. But the two things that we were looking for to find out what's going on with whether there's discriminatory behavior against homeless people is you can't find whether there are stay-away orders issued, and you can't easily find, at least I haven't yet been able to be clear on this, whether there are whether the individuals ticketed are people of color. And to us, that's important to know. Because if it's the case that it's not happening, then we can say right on, you know, pat Andy Mills on the back and say, you've changed from the Barnett chapter. That's when Officer Barnett was giving out tickets at a significantly increased rate to African-American folks downtown for minor offenses. And that was 2013, 2014 when we got that information from the police department and posted it on Santa Cruz Indy Media. In case you're skeptical, you can actually look at the raw data that we released at that time. So this is all a riff on an event that's happening tomorrow, Friday at 6 o'clock at the Resource Center for Nonviolence, 612 Ocean Street, which is the Lava May workshop on establishing a mobile hygiene service. I mean, it's great that there's a storage service established, a 24-hour storage service, or day and night storage service anyway. 24 hours is not accurate since it's only open during the mornings and the evenings, but they will hold your stuff for 24 hours, provided you make a contract with them. And again, you could find that out by calling 246-1234, which is also the number for the warming center. I think I have that right, and if I don't, who knows? Maybe we'll get a call from Brent Adams about that issue. Here's some interviews from December 10th, Monday, earlier this week, just so you can hear a few voices other than mine.
So we're on the outside the Red Church. It's December 10th that we're talking with.
Kenny. I was just going to say, now it's really a drag because only Tuesdays and Thursdays you can get your property back.
They took your property on Saturday?
Yeah, but it's my flu. It means a lot to me, but I get it tomorrow. I've been waiting like 4 days or something, but that's all. That's my only flu.
What did they take?
Just my backpack instead of my property.
And what was the circumstance? Why were they taking it?
Some stupid bogus thing. I want to get my...
Go for it.
Yeah.
Go for it. Thank you, man. So we're on the outside the Red Church.
And Kenny had to rush into a meal, but we then hit the meal line and began interviewing folks and caught some more voices.
Drive.
I'm sorry, start again.
The safe. We had some signs that were up that weren't supposed to be there by the USGS building on Natural Bridges Drive. It says no parking from midnight to 6 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
And so the Coastal Commission, Sarah Carville, talked to Pat Vesert with enforcement, who talked to the city, who agreed to take down a couple signs. And I think they're supposed to take down some more signage, but so far it hasn't been done yet. But there was a couple of signs removed already.
You're on their track.
They're working on it. Yeah, so that's a progress.
Have you heard of anybody getting tickets under these bogus signs?
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah, all kinds of things are happening. Also, Sean Arlt, you know about that situation, right?
Anything new? I just know there was a settlement, but there's no change in police policy as far as I know.
Okay, and then I guess there's a Luke Smith issue.
And Sean Arlt, of course, was the guy who was shot dead by Santa Cruz police about 2 years ago. And recently, his family received a significant settlement from the city, but there's no indication the police department's policies have changed in any way, or the reports which Huff and other groups demand to be released, the witnesses, the DA's investigation, the video and audio, some of which was released, but not necessarily by me, necessarily all of it, still remains under lock and key. And Luke Smith is another person, this man killed by deputies, and that also, we made similar demands, and so far, no response.
Oh, yeah, those are two men shot by the police, by deputies.
His mom and friends are still trying to process that, and they're also dealing with lawyers right now over that situation.
We've been talking with
Julie Shaw, Santa Cruz Full-Timers.
Thank you. Hi, Nancy, any report? Betsy, any reports? Mr. Mark,
yes.
Anything that you wish to report to us?
Oh, just a stolen bike, but that happens all the time
another
in Santa Cruz.
Stolen bike. You just kept, how did that happen?
Yeah, I locked it up at City Hall. I had it in a spot that was fairly well hidden underneath some eaves, so when it was raining, it wouldn't get wet. I got a notice saying I had to leave, I had to move because it was an abandoned vehicle or abandoned bicycle.
Abandoned?
Yeah, that's what they told
even
me.
Even though it was locked?
Even though it was totally locked off, yeah. So I moved it, and after I moved it, it got stolen that night.
Was it locked again?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I had two locks on it, a chain lock for the wheels and a U-lock for the frame.
You put it in a bank vault.
Yeah, I do. I do. But that's okay. That's okay. Once I get my disability, I'll be happy. Yeah, I do. I do. But that's okay. That's okay. Once I get my disability, I'll be happy.
No tickets, sites for no time sleeping.
Nope, not yet.
Harassment for daytime strumming or busking.
Not yet.
Just the two that we heard about.
Just what I reported before. So.
Keep me advised of those.
Okay, we'll do, Robert.
We've been talking with
Mark, Mandolin Mark.
Thank you, Mark.
Yeah.
All right. Any reports, sir?
Nope. Sorry.
All right. Reports from the street? Any street reports, sir?
Not really anything new at this time, no.
Okay. Well, keep me brief, you know.
We'll do that.
What about you?
Same.
All right. Any street reports?
Okay.
No? Steve, anything from your neck of the woods?
I recently heard Mother Jones mentioned on the radio. I didn't know the magazine was still around. So.
The person or the magazine?
The magazine.
Oh, yeah. The liberals are always masquerading as radicals. You know, that's an old trick. Anything on the street outside? Anything, any news?
Not at the moment. Still have decision, headache. So I'm going to try to get that headache going for.
How's your health?
Health? Good.
Bathroom?
Broken rib.
Broken rib happened because of?
Non-displaced fracture.
Due to human agency, or how'd that happen?
Yes. Out of the pub kind of thing?
It wasn't a police action.
No.
Well, that's good to hear. All right, we talking with?
Thanks, man.
Thanks, Steve. Any reports, sir?
I like that. Freeze. Divided in threes. That's good.
Take care of it. Any reports? You were telling me, I don't know if you got time before we get to the food.
Oh, yeah. I've been
talking
kicked
with.
Out of... Oh, Travis. Uh-huh. Been kicked out of City Hall more than 13 or 14 times just in this year.
Three times recently?
No, it's just usually escaping rain or some bad weather or windy situations. But
I can't say, you don't mean inside the building, you mean under the eaves?
No, just under the eaves, yeah. It was usually by security guards, like first alarm, around 11 o'clock at night, 2 in the morning.
And what's your response to this? Do you sing them Merry Christmas, or
no?
Or do you exit shrieking?
I'm just I was just thinking about that the entire time that one of these people with their higher sobriety pledge allegiance is rubbing the fact in our face that they just got to go on a vacation in Hawaii. And told us about puppies getting abused.
And that happened with one of those guards who spoke to you?
No, that just happened to a speech that just happened now. Right here
at the Red Church.
Yeah.
Puppy abuse, a serious question here.
Ever heard the song, Dead Puppies Aren't Much Fun?
I never have.
Well, it was by Dr. Seuss? Oh, I'm sorry. It was
Dr. Demento?
Dr. Demento.
Believe that demented idea. We've been talking.
Dead Puppies Aren't Much Fun.
We've been talking with
Travis.
Thanks, Travis. We're talking with someone who's a former Washington, close to the Washington border resident.
I don't have any comments.
No
I just
comment.
Had a question about what he said.
Okay.
I didn't understand really what the main point was, other than he was disgusted.
Maybe if I see him, I'll ask him.
I wanted to know why, yeah.
Yeah, and you should too. Why not? First alarm gave you a wake-up call?
Yeah, a wake-up call. This morning, actually.
With coffee or without?
Without, and they just
tickets?
Stood there. No tickets.
Hassle?
No. And I just woke up and then walked around and went back to the same spot and went to sleep.
And how many hours of sleep did you get last night?
Maybe six, but I was trying to get a little bit more.
You want to share with us your secret spot?
Absolutely not.
All right.
It's not entirely secret. It's not even my spot. It's just...
It was your spot last night.
Yeah. No.
No.
Not my spot.
It was the spot you happened to be in.
The spot. Or, yeah.
One of those spots. We've been talking with, if you wish to say.
G.
Thank you, G. Any reports from the street? For free radio, we're doing kind of, reports on things that happen for people outside.
Oh, we haven't been on the street.
No, that's good. Stay off the street unless you like it out there. Any reports for free radio? Anything happened to you want to pass on? Things you thought about? Things that happened? No. Police, good people, you name it. You look like you've been painting.
A little bit.
Yeah.
I might lose my job because I didn't understand my boss because mostly he speaks Spanish, so it was difficult for me to. But I've only been around Santa Cruz for maybe a month, but there's a lot of nice people here.
Are you indoors or outdoors?
I'm outdoors. I was in a rehab for a little while. I'm right. Trying to get back in.
Ticket. And no tickets? Tickets by police or ranger?
No contact with police. I've encountered the warming shelter?
The warming center.
The warming center, thank you. They were helpful, they were nice. And then also, food, not bombs?
No bombs, I'm Moriro, yeah.
They were quite helpful as well.
What's your name?
Keith.
Thank you, D. Yeah. I'll let you go eat, so you...
thank you.
That might be more... That's the reason you're here.
Not right now.
Hey, no problem.
I'm concentrating on this. Community.
I can appreciate that.
Yeah, I said something.
Any streets, reports of any kind?
Same old bullshit.
Anything in particular?
No. I think everybody else knows about it.
All right. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, Merry Christmas.
All right. Any reports from the street?
Not right now, boss. I haven't seen it, hopefully.
All right, then. Any street reports, sir?
Got busting mother loving Navy war.
Can you clarify that statement, sir?
At least we're not in war. We're actually in a time of relative peace right now.
Well, unless you happen to be in Iraq, yeah. Afghanistan, or any of the other places around the globe where the U.S. has troops.
We're in America, we're not getting blown up except for what happened in Northern California.
Well, you're just paying for other people to get blown up. That's what you
got nuked.
Well, collateral damage.
All those weapons we got, all those toxic bioweapons we got stashed. It didn't happen.
We need them to defend our country, sir.
Oh, yeah, right. That's why we got 30,000 tons of it.
Well, the more the merrier. Besides, it helps keep the economy going, right?
Make money. Make bombs. Make money.
Are you still housed, we hope?
Yeah. Good. Loving every second of it. Getting my low housing. I have my low housing.
And what about you, sir? What do you think about this individual we just spoke to?
Oh, no. They're shooting mortars at us. Oh, well. The more the merrier.
We'll leave you now, then. Any reports from the street?
No, thanks. Not today.
Thank you. And to break up the merriment, here is a little Joan Baez and her latest song,
or I don't know how sure if it's her latest, but it's called Nasty Man. And I suspect it's about Fuhrer Trump.
Here's a little song about a man gone wrong, building up his evil empire. And after months of ifs and buts, the papers got the guts to call the man of the year a liar. To call the man of the year a liar. Hustling and bustling across the big green lawn, stomping through the famous rose garden. But every little rose turned up its pretty nose, saying you owe the earth a pardon. Saying you owe the earth a pardon. And fumbling and bumbling through the halls at night, turning every light switch on, for the room where you used to be the groom, but she's packed all her jewels and gone. Yeah, she scooped up all the jewels and gone. For the former residents and Mrs. President left you corn and lima beans and tomatoes. He said, rip them all out, they'll only give me gout. And that's unbecoming for a future dictator. That's unbecoming for a future dictator. Beautifulest wall around our borders. But here's what I think, you better talk to a shrink, 'cause you got serious psychological disorders. You've got dangerous pathological disorders. Well, that's my little song about a man gone wrong. He's nasty from his head to his feet, and when the dirt on this man finally hits the fan, and no one gives a damn about his tweets, he'll be finally and forever obsolete.
And again, that was Joan Baez, Nasty Man.
Pay more taxes.
Any reports from you, Sonny?
We don't need dictators' control.
We're all here. We're still breathing.
Many of us are. Those of us aren't saying anything.
Right?
Thank you.
I'm getting in line again.
All right. Well, that's, you know, why not? You know. Any street reports, Zoe?
I just got by that little fucking Nazi out for turning off my fucking phone out there. It's just, I can't be out there talking. Dude, I'm trying to turn off my phone and turn off things so it occurs to things. You can run into this little fucking thing with total impolite curse. He's acting like I'm some, you know.
Steve, the sextant you're talking about.
I don't know who the fuck he is. I don't know his name.
Yeah, that's his name.
Kiss you out beyond here, and I'll fuck him up.
Good. Right, anything else happening you want to pass on?
Oh, I got cheap pairs.
You've got some falsies there?
I
see you got a piggy nose there.
The cops have been fucking loving me out here lately.
Really?
I just had the gang unit come by and just say, then I had that guy Gates walking out there. Boy, he did a total 180 with me, man. Wants to figure out what I'm about. Hey.
Take care. What's the story?
Okay, well, I'll tell you in a minute. But one of them is about my. Don't record this part.
All right.
We're talking with a rearranger here, and I like to give back to us, the homeless, who seem to be hassled and harassed constantly by the city ranger. That's why the rearranger is the one who follows the city ranger, and when he stops and gets out to F you with somebody, I jump in the back of his truck, take all the stuff out, and redistribute it. I always can't find the right person, but I try to give it back to the public. And remember, the rearranger loves you.
The biggest thing is we don't know who you are, and we're not likely to find out. Thank you, sir. And Father Joel Miller is talking about December 20th, Memorial Day.
December 20th is a celebration. It's a celebration of all the homeless people who in 2018 have passed on. And we call it a celebration because those lives are full of wisdom and knowledge of how to survive, how to face huge trauma and stress. And so we celebrate their lives.
Okay, so you want more forms?
Yeah, sure. I love this. This one's really, really good. You know, the Philippines had to cook something. It wasn't fish.
It's a great joy.
Yeah.
So we say in the charity, life is not.
God is watching.
It changes. So God is. December 28th, 11 o'clock.
That I believe in. You have children.
Of course, 18 brownies. Just one brownie. One brownie would be good.
Thank you. You're welcome.
Thank you.
And of course, there's only one bagel left.
As I come to a bagel shop in one day.
So what's the story? Have you abandoned Conscience in Action, or has Conscience in Action abandoned
They've
you?
Abandoned me because they have no. They don't want to put up with me. I don't blame them.
I would put up with you any day.
Yeah.
Just as long as you don't wear that.
I'm going to come to the next. Well, there's going to be a meeting coming up pretty soon where we'll sit down and decide what we're going to be working on.
Well. Announce it, let me know, because the last one I announced...
Did anybody show up?
I did, and I think one other person, and a bunch of other Huff people, but
Nick
not...
Nick didn't show up. That's a surprise.
No, Nick didn't show up. Anyway, anything you want to report for Free Radio about what's happening, upcoming events?
No.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you, Phil.
Announcement, everybody! Most of you know what I'm going to talk about if you got this flyer. This flyer talks about what's happening at the... City or Shitty Council tomorrow. They're having their last meeting of the year, and on their agenda is more babble about homelessness and a sort of a very inadequate protection for renters. But this is also the council meeting when new council members are going to be appointed. That happens at 7 o'clock, and they sometimes have a sort of a shindig across the street at the Civic Auditorium, which is open to the public and sometimes has drinks and some edibles. It doesn't always happen every year. I'm not sure what they're doing this year, but there's also a chance that there may be some tumult at the city council because they're stopping the rent freeze tonight, the day after tomorrow. Yeah, tomorrow, actually, the rent freeze ends. I know most of us here aren't renters, but for those who are, the rent freeze enacted by the city council in February ends tomorrow night. And some people there are pissed about it and are going to try to raise the roof. Why is it important for people who are outside? Because they haven't got any rents. They just got hassles and tents or sleeping bags or whatever you got or cars. Nonetheless, the worse the rent situation gets, the more people are driven outside, as most of you know. So if you want to come and check it out tomorrow, there are items on the afternoon agenda, and there's also a chance to talk at 5:30 about anything you want, briefly, for 2 minutes. And that's happening tomorrow at 5:30 at City Hall.
And there actually was no tumult at City Council, just a general coronation of the new City Council, which now has a so-called progressive majority with Brown, Crone, Glover, and Cummins. And they even voted in Cummins sort of in an unprecedented move as the vice mayor, which usually goes to the previous high vote getter, which would have been Cynthia Matthews in the last election. But they were looking forward to the next election, I should say, to the next election, when the next year, the next mayor would be Cynthia Matthews, because the vice mayor follows the mayor the next year. And if Cynthia Matthews is appointed vice mayor this year, she'll be mayor next year, and that she controls the agenda. And some of you may remember that it's David Chirazis, the outgoing mayor, who is no longer mayor, the former mayor, who was able to block putting on the agenda the rent freeze just eviction protection extension, which is really important for half the renters or half the people who live in Santa Cruz who are renters. So that did happen, but there was no demand and no action from the new progressive majority, either before they were seated or after they were seated, to demand that there be an emergency motion to extend the rent freeze. Instead, they sort of timidly followed along with Sandy Brown to put it on the January 4th agenda, giving the landlords the power to do whatever they want in the next month. And while it is true that there was an alternate measure, I think I may have mentioned this earlier in the show, that they was passed in the afternoon, which may deter landlords somewhat, because it says landlords, if they're evicting people after November 27th without adequate cause and or refusing to extend their lease, then they will get they'll have to pay a couple months relocation fees, which it's I don't know what, $4,000, $5,000, something like that. So that may deter landlords, but see, this is not an enforceable provision. Is the problem? It requires people to go to court. There's no real agency that enforces it. And even with the rent freeze in power for the last 8 or 9 months, there's still been instances of people being evicted in violation or having their rents raised in violation. So there was no action taken that might mobilize the community to realize that this is an important issue that some people in power are standing up for, or that others in the audience are demanding they stand up for. I think I was the only one in the audience who made any kind of demand that I remember on this issue, and no one listens to me, or some do, but apparently not enough, or at least not the right people, or not enough numbers. Back to the Red Church.
And then at 7 o'clock at City Hall, the new clowns are going to be replacing the old clowns. But there is still a bunch of angry renters there, and we're going to try to form a coalition with them. Some of us who are activists around civil rights for homeless people. The next day,
And the renters weren't so angry, as I said. Though there was this shindig at the Civic Auditorium, which I didn't get to. Every 4 years after a new council gets elected, it's every 2 years, but every 4 years this ceremony happens. Maybe it's every 2 years. But in any case, this year they were setting up for treats and drinks and so forth for people who want to meet and greet and chat with the new council, the three new council members, Cummins, Justin Cummins, Drew Glover, and Donna Myers. You're going to hear me talking to them next. I'm going to play that segment. I didn't get to the festive after council meeting after they make all their wonderful speeches. I didn't stay for their speeches either. But I did do a little interviewing beforehand, and you're going to hear that after this segment at the Red Church and perhaps a few other. I think I'll play it probably directly after this with maybe a little intervening something to break up the tirade.
Wednesday at 11 o'clock. There's going to be a joint meeting of renters and homeless folks outside at the Sub Rosa Cafe, which is next to the bike church. That's 11 o'clock, Sub Rosa Cafe, free coffee, lots of jabber, no promises of any action, but it is happening. That's 11 on Wednesday. So here it is, all on this flyer. I'll leave a couple copies here. Grab them before Steve throws them away. Thank you.
And at the Huff meeting on Wednesday, I think two renters showed up. The head of the Renters Association, Cynthia Berger, who had some spirited ideas. Some of them had to do, I was suggesting we do some sort of eviction protests if we could learn about people being evicted. And you heard me asking Drew Glover about that earlier. He didn't have any idea except possibly for himself. That would be quite something to stand up against that. But there is otherwise, there was concern, I guess, at the Huff meeting about a woman being harassed in, who's living in her vehicle with presumably it's neighbors who are putting flyers on her vehicle that demand she move, that state that the police chief has agreed she has to move, even though there's nothing that violates the parking laws. The only thing that they had before was they had the sleeping ban, the law that Santa Cruz makes it illegal to sleep in a vehicle after 11 o'clock at night, which has been ruled, at least the city police chief is saying he's not enforcing that law at the moment. So she's just getting harassed. We talked about doing some kind of RV defense by doing maybe a sleep out or a camp out in the Woodrow Street area, which is where this harassment is going on. And we're going to still be looking into that further if the person in the van wants us to do that and if we can muster the resources. If you're interested in this kind of thing, give me a call at the Huff line. Huff is Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom at 423-HUFF, 423-HUFF, 423-4833. So we have a couple of reports from Fresno where Mike Rhodes writes in with the group Fresno Homeless Advocates. He apparently attended the Fresno City Council meeting, which was happening today, and they allocated $420,000, he writes, to a team affiliated with Westcare, whatever that is, that accompanies the Fresno Police Department, calling itself the Hero Team. There was a refunding request that was pushed by H. Spees, who works closely with Mayor Lee Brand of Fresno. The mayor is expected to approve the request. I found it interesting that they seem pleased that they were able over the last 2 years to get 8 homeless people into housing per month. Fresno is a very huge city compared to Santa Cruz. Spees talked about the great job the city was doing to reduce homelessness. He said homelessness was down in Fresno almost 60% over the last 8 years. He went on to say that this figure comes from the HUD-directed point-in-time count that he admitted was flawed and not accurate. I would agree. When Spees failed to point out that the point-in-time count over the last 2 years shows homelessness in Fresno up by 32%, but I'm not going to push the point because the methodology of the count is too flawed. There are several reasons why it appears the count went down for a few years. The main reason is that after the city bulldozed the encampments downtown, the homeless spread out throughout the city, making them much harder to find. Add to that the fact that the Fresno Police Department's homeless task force relentlessly hunts them down and takes their property. Homeless people have become much better at hiding out. Sure, that makes the city able to claim that homelessness has been reduced, but anyone living here can see with their own eyes that there are more homeless people on the streets than ever. Sounds like Santa Cruz. Captain Berka Farah, the head of the FPD Homeless Task Force, attended the meeting. He dressed for the occasion with his bulletproof vest and a gun at his side, telling us that what his team wears when they go out, that is what his team wears when they go out and confront the homeless for the crime of being too poor to have a roof over their heads. He was asked to stand with a representative of the Hero Team, and the audience was asked who they would rather talk to if they were homeless. In the afternoon at Fresno City Hall, they will discuss doing an audit of how money is being spent on the homeless. They will also show a video that I helped produce that gives the homeless themselves a voice in this discussion. It is several interviews of homeless people talking about what it is like interacting with the police in Fresno and telling us what would help get them off the street. Councilmember Luis Chavez has promoted and secured the funding, $1 million, for a low-barrier shelter that will provide beds for about 200 homeless people per night. That will double the number of beds available for the homeless in Fresno. And prior to that report, there was another email I got from Wayne Warkenton, also of Fresno, who is also writing the Fresno Homeless Advocates, which Mike Rhodes works with or is associated with or perhaps was addressing himself. And he writes this: Mike just saw this, but Homeless Task Force cleared out me and at least 7 others and 12 dogs at Thanksgiving. I have 5 human and 8 canine witnesses to it at Shields near Valentine. They're well hidden, but Bill is the leader of that group. Anita was camped nearby. As a result, I have a broken nose, a broken eye socket, concussion, fractured or sprained arm, shoulder and hand, sprained leg, and numerous cuts, thanks to the Homeless Task Force. One of those cleared out with a long gray beard, he was by a highway, told me, look online for the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals ruling, re-homeless property being seized. That's, of course, probably Martin versus Boise. Haven't had the computer and time access to do so yet. I know you won a lawsuit with the Rescue Mission case. That was way back in 2007, the Kincaid case. But they can't just discard homeless property. They must store it. They got my $150 Sears tent, lots of clothing, bedding, books, my new ATM bank card, and lots of EBTFS card due to them, too, and more. All 12 dogs were completely tame. All were at Shields near Valentine. Can you find out the status of me, of my, and others' property? We need to film testimony from Bill's group there. They're eyewitnesses to the Homeless Task Force stealing all my stuff and theirs in a rainstorm the day before Thanksgiving. Can you get a camera and smartphone to do that? For evidence, I would meet you and introduce the filmer to Bill and his group and dogs. Sooner rather than later, Wayne. P.S. I make connection to get a lawyer in 11 minutes, 3 social workers at Fresno County, older adults, and 1 adult protective service are helping me already. And it says, contact me. And Mike Rhodes, apparently, I don't know if he's written back. I was going to try to give him a call. He did say there will be a discussion during an audit on how the city of Fresno has been spending money on their homeless issues at 10 a.m. at the city hall. And I guess that is what Mike was writing me about in the earlier thing I read about the way the money was being spent by Fresno authorities on dealing with homeless people. That is to say, seizing their property and driving them out of sight and providing a few beds for a few people for lots of dollars. Let's have a musical break, please.
He's mean and nasty, full of hot air. Maybe it's because he's got such bad hair. He wants to build a wall around the USA and round up bad Mexicans and ship them away.
Dump Trump, dump Trump, dump Trump, dump Trump.
He builds big towers for the super rich. His casinos take your money when you have a gambling itch. On The Apprentice, he screams till you're sick and tired. He gets his kicks by telling people they're fired.
Dump Trump, dump Trump, dump Trump, dump Trump.
He's gonna put China in his place. Hell, they make drapes for his hotels, for God's sakes. He says he rents space to the Chinese banks, and that makes him an expert, as much as me, thanks.
Dump Trump, dump Trump, dump Trump, dump Trump.
He's got robber baron friends to bring this country back, like Icahn and Kravitz, who already gave us the sack. I never heard him give to the poor or any charity. All you hear from him is me, me, me.
Dump Trump, dump Trump, dump Trump, dump Trump.
Ivana and his new wife got those green cards fast. Money talks, you wait years and wind up last. His new wife sounds like Germany, 1935. It's okay to round him up, we have to survive.
Dump Trump, dump Trump, dump Trump, dump Trump.
He He's got sweetheart tax breaks on his skyscraper deals. We pay his taxes, so he thinks we're schlemiels. He keeps talking loud to get your vote, but a vote for him is like cutting your throat.
Dump Trump, Dump Trump, Dump Trump, Dump Trump.
He believes that only the strong survive, so forget your Medicare and SS if you want to stay alive. Pray you won't be carried out on a gurney while screaming, I guess I should have voted for Boiney.
Dump Trump, Dump Trump, Dump Trump, Dump Trump, Dump Trump.
Of course, no one had the chance to vote for Bernie once Clinton rigged the DNC, and no one's going to have the chance in the future. And, of course, Bernie himself bent over for Clinton once she got the nomination and said he was going to do that at the very beginning, so no one should have been surprised. Just a little addenda to that song called, I would call it Dump Trump. Yeah, it's a Dump Trump song by Lay and the Dumpettes, whoever they are. It's a little Trumpish or crude, but I guess that's the, Democratic Party dialogue. The issues are, of course, what I encourage people to focus on, because it doesn't matter who's running the show if the show agenda is the same. And now let's sashay over to the Ross Campground, or the Heroes Campground, as Keith McHenry called the campground that is out behind Ross at the Gateway Shopping Center. These are some interviews from Monday or Tuesday, and some of them are interesting. One is a lengthy one with a park ranger. Check them out.
I'm awake.
Remember me?
I know, but I will.
I used to be Mike Bolgeros' girlfriend. I have a son. He joined the army, little stinker.
And you adopted this dog instead?
Oh, no. I just spoke to my son. He said he's graduated from school.
All right. Well, we'll talk to you later, babe.
Huh?
If you're around and you feel like it, I'll talk to you later.
Oh, yeah. No, I don't live here. I stay with my daughter. So I have a place in SoCal, but I got burglarized, so I don't want to stay here.
Take it. So, we're talking with
Patrick. God sent me.
And Patrick, you don't stay at the campground here out at Ross. Today is December 10th, about, 9:30 in the morning. But you do camp outside.
Yes, I do. I've been donating my time and cleaning up Mother Earth, because in the area that I'm at, there's trash that has been left by previous campers, and I have been going around to several different sites, such like Tent City, the railroad tracks in the Poconos, other sites, and cleaning them up by myself, for myself.
How long you been outside?
15, 17 years.
Yeah. Have you noticed any difference in police treatment of campsites in the last 6 months?
Yeah, it's getting pretty laxed, pretty lenient.
Is that good?
A lot more than ever.
Good or bad?
It's good for us. Mm-hmm. The best thing that's happened to us in 100 years is everything turned into a misdemeanor for us.
And why is that the best thing in 100 years?
Well, when have you heard something better than that? I mean, the more I miss, the meaner I get.
I'm not going to comment on that one. How big a group do you camp with?
Seven people.
And do you move around, or do you pretty much stay in the same spot?
We stay in the same spot.
Any either hassles or even observation by rangers or cops?
Not in the last month and a half.
And is that because they don't know where you are? Because they
No, they do.
And you have access to, you know, trash pickups or anything like that?
No, I I get everything bagged and throw it away myself.
Uh-huh. And if people want to take a crap or a piss, how many miles do they have to hike, or do they have to bury stuff nearby, or what's the deal?
Well, that's a problematic situation that's been happening for about 5 years now. They've been taking bathrooms away, trash cans away, actually bus stops, everything really, the amenities that we need on an everyday basis, exactly.
So what's been your adapting to that? How do you deal with it?
Well, we go around and we search for outlets to charge things, because there's a lot of units that need electricity, of course. And so we're running into a lot of problems like that. And, you know, if you have those problems and you got a few bucks, it would be good to invest in a generator or something like that, so you don't burden other people or use their electricity.
How are you finding cafes treating people who are carrying backpacks or known to be living outside?
I think on the overall, there are certain places in this town, if you go to, they know you're homeless, they treat you like hell. If they don't, they give you the golden carpet.
And would that include, you know, the cafe here in this Ross complex?
The cafes here in the Ross complex, I would say Java Junction's a little bit uppity, but on the overall, they're pretty good here in the complex.
Who would you put on your shit list? Who would you put gold stars next to, if you want to say?
On my shit list, I'd put The Habit, because they're really arrogant people that basically got some funding and opened up a good establishment, but they are not public oriented, or they don't like people, certain people in public.
How many times have you been there?
I've been there at least 7 times.
So you keep coming back in spite of their treatment?
Well, it's the location for me is ultimate. But McDonald's is right down the street, and it's a burger place that I don't like to frequent because of the fastness of the food there.
Meaning
how they prepare it. And
fast foodish?
Yeah, fast foodish. They don't really have a charcoal broiler, or, you know, it's more of a come in, spend your cash, and see you later.
Any difference from how they treat people from The Hobbit? And you say The Hobbit is worse.
Well, yeah, the reason why I say that is because The Hobbit has hired people that are teenagers, basically, that haven't really expanded their minds or thought about others enough.
So it's not a policy, you think it's more just an experience?
Well, I went in, let me just give you a for instance. I walked in and ordered 2 double burgers for me and a friend of mine. And by the time I got home and opened them, he opened his, I opened mine. They were 2 single burgers. And I think she pocketed the money for the price of the double, because I definitely paid for 2 doubles.
Did you go back and say, hey, hey?
I did. And they did not even hear me.
So they didn't give you a refund or the merchandise you ordered?
No, but she said, do you want a Coke for the problem? And I thought that was kind of interesting, or kind of like a way to say, hey, I hear you, but no one gives a damn, or, you know, like that kind
of. This was some time ago, or this is on one of the occasions?
This is just one occasion, and I've heard from several other homeless people when they go into establishments here in Santa Cruz that they get treated like homeless people.
And what about vigilante activity against folks outside? Have you heard anything about that?
No, I haven't.
So that's good news.
Yeah, that's good. And on the overall, I think Santa Cruz is coming around, and they realize that people are just going to be people.
Now you're off to just crossing the pedestrian bridge, or are you going into the Ross camp?
No, I'm off to go across the bridge here.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, I like let's say I like what these people have put together, but they put it together for all the wrong reasons.
And be more specific on this?
Well,
we have a problem with medications here. People tend to say medications here are certain drugs that people prefer or whatever, and they realize that it's become, you know, a nationwide problem. And really what this tent city is shoot 'em up gallery.
Do you visit people here at all?
No, I don't, because I don't shoot up.
Do you think it's pretty much uniformly druggish, or is this just a mixture?
It's all about the nighttime.
And we've been talking with, if you want to say anything before we go,
Patrick.
Thanks, Patrick.
Should be on Free Radio Thursday night. Yeah. It'll be archived.
At the Ross campground, it's about 15 to 10. Still the same two porta potties, still the same hand washing, still the same. No, there are only six trash cans now. And.
Hey, brother, how are you doing?
All right, yourself?
Pretty good. Looking for my bike.
Yeah, haven't seen it.
Yeah,
but I just got out.
Try.
I'm not living around here. But any? Are you just. You're not a local who lives here?
No, I'm just snooping around trying to find my bike.
Well, good luck with that, man. People coming and going on bikes or walking. The ground is muddy, although I don't know if it rained last night. Perhaps it did. Folks are still in there. You know, there are a few folks outside the tents. It looks like the camp has expanded all the way to the far River Street gate. And there's some very large tents that look like they're maybe four-person tents. At least one, two, three, four, five, six, maybe seven of those. The rest are small one- and two-person tents or four-person tents. Yeah, I guess the large ones, there's just one very large tent, looks like for, I don't know, 10 people maybe. It's as big as three tents. And someone's coming out of it. It's a morning in Santa Cruz. The hole in the fence at the freeway River Street intersection end of the campground. That's where I originally came into the campground, sort of checking things out. But there are at least a dozen tents now closer to that cut hole in the link fence. And now I'm going to count the tents, which include things like umbrellas. There are some pallets at this end too. Okay. There's one tent on the other side of the fence, actually bordering the freeway. And only one. Making it about 90 tents, although really it's a rough count, and I'm kind of trying to do other contacts with people as I count. Cool, but also a couple of old guys. Looks like disabled guys. There's a ranger walking around checking things out. And some graffiti in the mud. Fuck the pigs. A picture of a pig. Hey, ranger man, how you doing?
I'm okay. How about yourself?
Good, good. Good. Luckily, I'm not living in a tent, so.
Well, it's very unfortunate for these people that they are.
It's good that it's not being harassed by rangers and cops, as has been the case in the past. So yeah.
Well, we're trying to provide them with a service and provide them with a place that they can be. This is actually, you know, the goal here. But as you can see, we are pretty much leaving people to their own devices and letting them self-police.
Which is good. Which is good.
But it's not that good.
No.
And it's not that good. Right?
And it's not that good. That's not enough.
No, but yeah. When you have people actively spray painting on the ground, that's environmental hazard, that's environmental issues. When you have people leaving needles and for trash around and stuff like that, it's kind of working against themselves.
Is Parks and Rec doing any cleanups or just kind of leaving it to the folks here?
Well, actually, Parks and Rec has been spending some money on cleanup, and that's why I'm here, is we have a special cleanup crew that's going to be coming
good for
in
you.
And
good
cleaning
for you,
up
man.
And following up. But yeah. I've got to be honest, why don't they clean up after themselves?
You got to talk to the individuals, I guess.
Mm-hmm. You see, that's the thing. Is we're leaving this to them for self-policing. If they can make this work for them, great. But if it turns out to be an environmental nightmare, it's good. Something else is going to have to happen.
Well, I know a year ago, as you may remember, San Lorenzo Park was, you know, certainly there were more facilities than here. Is there a reason San Lorenzo wasn't opened up this year that you know of?
None that I know of. I believe the park was just being rehabilitated.
How's that going?
I don't know. I'm not in the maintenance department anymore. So Rangers are now operating out of the police department.
But you've been doing this for a while.
Mm-hmm.
How many years?
I've been a ranger for 4 years now.
Oh, well, I took you for a ranger for a longer. I'm sorry.
No, it just seems like I've been around longer.
Well, your hair is kind of like mine, so I thought, well, you know, you never can tell. So what about, I don't see a lot of disturbances here. I mean, there's litter and there's some graffiti. This is the first time I've seen, I haven't seen any other instances of graffiti. Have you?
I have not. This is new. This is somebody else who's just coming into the camp.
There's been trash, but the trash seems to be cleaned up. It just takes longer is what I've
noticed. That's because the Parks and Rec Department has been out here cleaning
up. Well, get out there and work faster, man.
But I think that, again, and I've talked to many of the people here, I would like to see this work. But it's all going to be efforts on their part. And the word has to get out to this community to just keep it clean.
Mm-hmm.
If we can keep it clean, we can keep it going. But without that, if people aren't going to step up and be responsible...
Now, are there any Sharps containers that are out here? Because that would be useful.
I don't think there are any Sharps containers out here. I know that we have passed out Sharps containers at times. But there's no permanent installation of a Sharps container.
That would be a good idea, I think.
It probably would be. It depends on how long things are going to be here.
Right, until I don't see housing opening up anytime soon.
No, unfortunately, I don't see that happening either.
How do I pronounce your name?
Ross Kelly.
Thank you. So, anything you want to say to listeners out there?
Well, just that this is an ongoing problem all over the country. It's a legitimate concern. I think that the city is trying to manage it in a more humane way by giving people a place to actually be. But we're hoping that the people who are involved here will pick up their end and actually, you know, clean up the sites, keep things clean. I understand that there are people who have addiction problems, and I'm not going to cure those for them. They have to do that themselves. But all we ask is that they use appropriate Sharps containers, not leave the needles on the ground, not leave the other detritus on the ground. If we can get these people to be responsible and keep their little individual campsites clean, it would go a long way.
And you'll be making a recommendation that they put in a permanent Sharps container out here.
I will mention it, but that is not my position to actually recommend that kind of stuff. My job is just simply to make sure that the cleanup crews that come through here are safe, that nobody is acting out against anybody else.
And how often does that happen?
As far as I know, fairly rarely. We do get some calls every so often.
It's always been quiet when I've come out here, but I haven't been out here much. Yeah. So.
Now, our biggest, you know, again, our biggest concern here is the amount of garbage that's here, the amount of, you know, now we're getting some graffiti, but the amount of needles and things like that.
How
that's
frequently
our stuff.
Are the pickups, the trash pickups?
I'm not. Oh, the trash pickups are daily.
That's pretty good.
So, yeah.
What about the porta potty cleanings?
I'm not sure how often the porta potties get.
Who would know that if I wanted to inquire into that?
I would talk to Department of Parks and Rec.
Parks and Rec.
Yep.
That's the group you work for.
No, I work for the police department.
Oh.
We're now.
That began what, last spring?
Yeah, July.
How is that for you? Is it better, worse, different?
I think it's better. I enjoy it.
What's the improvement as far as you're concerned?
Clear direction, clear understanding. We have more tools available to us, but we're also, you know, working hand in hand with the police department to formulate better solutions.
Now, were you out here with Andy Mills when he gave a speech, a week ago?
No, I was not.
Because I know he came and spoke here. I missed the event, mm-hmm. and I thought you might have been. So.
No, unfortunately, I was not. But again, you know, here's the problem. We know that we live in a polarized community when it comes to homelessness. The Santa Cruz is quite polarized.
Some have homes and some don't.
That's right. But there's also attitudes about them. And
sure.
The thing that I try to convey to all the people out here is that how we comport ourselves here is how people will judge the homeless community at large. Everybody. We often see one camp and somebody will complain about that and they'll say all homeless are like that. We know that isn't true.
Right, but of course the Santa Mierda website will regard all homeless people as shit regardless of how nicely they behave. That's what I seem to find. I've never, for example, there was a case of the people who rescued folks out there.
Mm-hmm.
You don't see a word about that on their website. Just know that there was an accident.
Yeah.
They don't give any credit to people who, you know, do the decent thing, and anybody would. It's not, not an issue. But I think, you know, you're focusing on this and the litter, and I understand your point. But the point is, sometimes it's like trying to tell black people in the South, if only you know you really prove yourself that you're really a good person, the rest of these bigots will like you. I don't think that's necessarily true.
I don't think that's really what I'm saying either, though, because, quite frankly, it's really more up to the individual to how they comport themselves. And like I said, we've got some good people who are out here who are, you know, living homeless, no fault of their own. Maybe it is fault of their own. Doesn't change the fact that they're homeless. Mm-hmm. And they need the help and they need the support. People have got to exist somewhere. I think the city's trying to provide that. But I think that there's been a greater frustration that wherever these encampments become prevalent, the trash is huge. The amount of needles just laying on the ground is huge. And if we could get people to pick up after themselves, keep a clean site, keep an area so that impressions are everything. And I know most of these people here. I deal with most of them on an average daily basis. A lot
How
of them
often do you come out per day?
I come out here. I drive. This is part of my beat, so I'm out here three or four times a day at least, just on a regular occasion.
Did you similarly do that in the San Lorenzo Park area?
Yeah.
And how there it looked, it looked like it did require a significant amount of policing, but there seemed to be more facilities.
Yes and no. I think that part of the problem was that that was a planned event. That happened because they said, we're going to do this and have that happen. Mm-hmm. This just happened on its own.
People came here.
The police department decided that it was better to let them be here.
And be all over the damn city.
Be all over the city. But also, you know, people got to have a place to be. Mm-hmm. You know, and so I think that this was their solution. But I think, that, again, we're all looking and hoping that this won't fail.
Well, people were coming to San Lorenzo Park before to some extent,
mm-hmm.
and I think after the shutdown of the City Hall campsite, people moved to the area in front of the post office, and that, I think, was mm-hmm. so visible that people were told by Mills and others, you know, go to San Lorenzo Park. But mm-hmm.
Those decisions are all made above my level.
Right.
So, I mean,
but you implement them. You have to come out here and address these issues yourself. Mm-hmm. So they get to make the decisions and you get to do the dirty work.
Essentially, yes. That's I do what they ask me to do. I do what I can. I am kind of the liaison between the two. I'm a liaison between what the community, the city wants to have happen, and the people who are out here.
Do you have phone contact with people out here? Because some people have cell phones.
Yes, and I have given my actual personal cell number to a few people out here for free issues and things like that.
Do you find that you're regularly contacted? People can get in touch with you and do?
Some do. There's like only a couple of people who regularly contact me. But most of the time I give out my number. It's just to give them a sense of, if you need help, it's here.
Have you got your card? Can I grab a copy of your card?
Sure.
Back to this exciting saga in a moment, folks. But here's music in the meantime.
And that was an old one, A Ball of Confusion from The Temptations, all you old-timers. And back now to chat with a ranger at the Heroes Camp. What kind of input have you been getting from people in the community about this campsite? Mostly negative, mostly positive, mixed?
I would say it's a solid mix. There are many people who think that it's a good opportunity to deal with it. Some people think it's a good opportunity to put it kind of out in people's face and say, here it is. But then we also have a lot of people who are, you know, quite frankly, when the citizenry come out here and they find their stolen bike in the camp, it doesn't look good for the camp.
How frequently is that happening?
Daily.
And how many bikes would you say per day are found out?
I don't know off the top of my head. I don't work every day, but I know we retrieved one yesterday. We had a homeowner come out here and get a bike the other day. Last time I was on, yesterday was my first day this week for a shift, but last week we had a homeowner come out here, get a bicycle out of here.
And indeed, as I walked into the campground, there was a guy showing a picture of his bike and looking for it. So it's apparently it's you know, we don't have Grand Theft Auto, we have Grand Theft Bike.
I think it's the Santa Cruz Bicycle Exchange Program.
Yeah, I guess yellow bikes would be better, but we haven't got them.
And you know, again, this is part of the self-policing. You know, people who steal bikes bring on a bad impression into the campground, and that's what the public is taking away. Well, you want to find your stolen bike, this is where you go. So it's kind of working against the people here in the camp to allow that kind of behavior to go on. Again, this is something we're counting on them doing self-policing. Because if they can maintain...
Is that happening? Are people saying, hey, that guy took a bike, go get him, that sort of thing?
Generally, no. Generally, no. And I don't expect it. I don't expect any of these people
It's entrepreneurship at a very low level. I mean, people...
It's theft. It's theft.
It's theft, but, you know, some would call what PG&E and, you know, what large businesses do theft, too, only it's more organized and better advertised.
Well, there's a big difference between it, because PG&E doesn't go into your garage or break into your car, steal your garage...
Cut off your light and your electricity.
That's
and burn up your forests and things like that.
They don't actually go into your garage and take your possessions out of your garage.
Although, if they take away your light and your heat, that's kind of your possession, too. Oh, I know, you're not paying enough to PG&E for it. Well, I'll try not to meddle and let this dialogue continue. I should say, though, that it would have been better if I had been talking to, in response, to get some members of the campground responding. And at that time, I didn't find anybody who was up for a conversation, but hopefully I will in the near future.
Some of these people work hard for their bicycle. They work really hard. They earn their money. They save because they've got to pay other bills and everything like that. It may take them a year to get their top-line mountain bike that they wanted to get that they're just absolutely happy to have, and a week later get stolen out of their garage. There's nothing good about that. There's nothing that justifies that. That's not PG&E. That's not anything like that.
What are the employment opportunities for people in these tents, in your view?
I don't know. I think that part of it is some of them may not be employable. I know I do see help wanted signs around. We also have the streets team. I know that the team that comes and cleans up for us also hires people.
A 20-person team, right, or a 40-person team.
But I also see, you know, help wanted signs in various businesses around town. So I know that there are jobs available for some. But it's part of what do they do as well for themselves. When being homeless is a very difficult thing to overcome. If you're trying to look for a job, it's very hard to get up in the morning in a tent and try to find clean, dry clothes.
Particularly if you're disabled.
Yeah.
Or elderly.
And then try to get a job. I understand that. But I also see a lot of people who really aren't working towards that goal.
You're trying to pay Santa Cruz rent.
Well, exactly. Santa Cruz rent is ridiculous.
Now, do you live in Santa Cruz or do you live outside?
I live outside of Santa Cruz.
Well, why don't you live in Santa Cruz? It's such a beautiful place.
Because the crime.
It's not the rents. It's the crime.
It's not the rents. The rents are very high, yes, but it's the crime. The fact that I see people when I did live here in Santa Cruz, people looking in my windows of my cars, people walking down my driveway towards my garage.
What section of town did you live in?
West Side. So when I saw that, and then I hear a lot of radio traffic like that as well, when it came time to actually buy, we decided that we would buy out of the city because it just was not safe.
How's for our working personal, for you?
Much better. So it's got a nice little place, far more reasonably priced. You know, between ourselves and our neighbors, we haven't had to worry about people helping themselves to our stuff.
How are wages and benefits on the job you're in?
The wages and benefits aren't great.
And do you have a union that actually represents you well? I know
we have a union at the SEIU, and they're terrible.
And what do they need to do to improve what they do? What would you suggest if you were?
Well, Santa Cruz Rangers are the worst paid Rangers in the state. So it would be nice if our union worked a little more to negotiate a better wage.
What's the average pay grade for a Ranger?
I couldn't tell you off the top of my head.
Starting pay grade, ending pay grade?
I don't know off the top of my head.
You say it is the worst in the state.
It is the worst in the state. I mean, per capita, I think we're like 14% under parity.
And yet here you are working as a Ranger. Is that because you're kind of rooted here or because you have other things that keep you here?
Well, I have always worked in the environment, and when I first signed on, I was warned that this was more law enforcement than what I was used to, but also it's a chance to give back to the community. To be quite honest, as cliche as that sounds, I like the ability to actually do something and try to make a difference.
But you can do that as a Ranger anywhere, right?
I could, but my wife also works, and she has a job that keeps us rooted here as well. So, you know, we're
so
both.
Don't tell the crash. You're here to stay.
I'm here to stay, and as long as I can do some good, I will continue to do good.
Well, don't let Wells Fargo foreclose on your home, please.
I will not.
We've been talking with
John Roskelly.
Thank you, John.
Okay.
All right.
No, be kind when you use that, okay?
I'll be, you know, it's uncensored. I'm not going to censor anything out of this.
Okay. All right.
I make the usual critical or supportive comments sometimes, but, you know.
I just don't want to get called into the chief's office and say.
Bully you around.
No, I don't say bully me around, but maybe you shouldn't be talking to the press sort of thing. We do have press agents who, you know, you're supposed
you're
to talk
being
to.
Candid about.
I am.
I mean, you're not speaking for the department. You're speaking for yourself, right?
I am. I'm speaking for myself, and I'm speaking, you know, candidly, and the things that I have observed, good or bad.
Your experiences here.
Yeah, exactly. And I do take the time to get to know some of these people out here, and I think that some of these people out here know me on. Most of these people out here know me on a first name basis.
Are you inviting them home to dinner?
No, I am not. But I have bought them birthday cakes. I have bought them food. Mm-hmm. I have bought sleeping bags and shoes.
And you may mention the Sharps container problem,
mm-hmm.
or maybe additional porta potties.
Well, yes. Again, we have.
Or maybe a washing station that doesn't run out of water. Wouldn't
yes,
that be nice?
That would be good. That would be all. Of that would be good. But I think that. Again, what I'm trying to instill upon these people here is that let's make this work together.
Keep it clean.
Let's keep it clean so nobody can complain about anything. Nobody can complain, then we can just keep on doing business as usual. You know, that's the real thing is that we need it to not scare the public.
Always difficult when you're dealing with a scaredy-cat public.
Well, it is. Unfortunately, we live in a very polarized community, and some of the concerns are legitimate. Some of the gripes are legitimate. Some of them are over the top. Some of them are exacerbated.
Well, if people are being pressed themselves by lack of funding, you know, and economic mm-hmm. inequality and lack of job opportunity, they're likely to, you know, you'll kick the dog if the boss kicks you, and it's a natural, or I don't know mm-hmm. how natural it is, but it happens a lot, isn't it?
But to be honest, I mean, this is me, John, quite honestly, if I was in this situation, the first thing I would do is I'd get out of town. Santa Cruz, the gap of what you need to get off the street to not be homeless, and what you're getting when you're on the bottom, is so huge. You know what rents are here. You know how hard it is to get into a place. Anybody who sees a driver's license with a Coral Street address is less likely to rent to that person. But the gap is so big. I don't see how people can actually get off the streets here in Santa Cruz. If I was in this position, I myself would head inland. I would go to another community that didn't have such a large homeless population, that had better opportunities of employment, where I could afford a place to rent and live. And I know this actually works because I counseled a woman just like this in Poganip 2 years ago. And I'd go and visit her and tell her, you know, this is what you've got to try to do, is you can't survive in Santa Cruz. You're not going to make it.
And she did.
And she moved. Mm-hmm. She left. She went to Salinas. She got herself an apartment almost right away. She got a job because she was able to get a shower and present herself clean. And she was working within weeks. She ended up meeting a guy. They have a little baby now. She came and she came up to me about a year ago.
And you even invited her to dinner, Brad.
No, I didn't invite her to dinner.
Never done.
My wife hates it when I bring people home.
You could do the cooking.
Well, yeah, but after a long day here, I don't feel like cooking too much. But again, the point is that it can be done, and some people do that. I understand people who are born and raised in a place, and they want to stay there and live in the community. And to them, I say, move, make your money, earn your nut, come back with some coin in your pocket so you can rent a place that you can afford and you can be off the street.
Where the rents are even higher when you return.
Well, they always will be, unfortunately. And until we find a solution to the housing issues, that unfortunately is going to be the problem. But people are freezing in their tents while they're waiting for rents to come down.
Are people engaging in fires here at night?
Oh, yeah, there's fires here. Yeah.
And are they well, I guess it's not. Is there much of a fire danger here? Is it more of a.
Well, not now that everything's wet, that's for sure. But I'll tell you, I found a smoldering tent right over there with nobody in it about 3 weeks ago.
Did you whip out your fire extinguisher?
Yes, actually, I did. I pulled the fire extinguisher out of the car. We put it out. But I also, praise where praise belongs, a couple of the other individuals who were here camping also came over with water and helped put the fire out. So, you know, you got to understand that, some people are responsible and recognize what the issues are. You know, smoldering tent looks bad.
And also, you have a kind of a community that develops simply because people are near each other, I think, mm-hmm. to some extent.
Yeah, exactly.
As well as, and is there much inner tent thievery happening, as far as you know?
I hear about it all the time. To be honest, I hear people complaining about their backpacks being stolen, their bicycle being stolen out from under them, guitars. I hear about a lot of stuff being stolen from one camp to another. I've heard about people wanting me to intervene because they found their stuff in somebody else's tent. So that, unfortunately, does still go on here.
And is this your main... You say this is a part of your beat. You probably go to other campsites in different places mm-hmm. in the city. There have been concerns that Parks and Rec and police confiscate property, and it's difficult for people to get it back. What's your response to that?
I don't know that it's really confiscated property, because a lot of times what happens is we'll make every effort to make contact with a person who has stuff. If we come across a camp, we'll actually post it so that they'll know that we've been there. If we talk to them, it's like, hey, man, you got to get your stuff together. A lot of these people will know that I go up and talk to them. It's like, hey, man, you got to move out of this spot. You can't be here. Please grab everything that's yours. We go into Nary Lagoon. There'll be a camp there. We'll contact those people. Please take everything that is yours out. Everything you want, please take with you.
How long do you give folks to do this?
At least 24 hours. Sometimes we'll give them much longer. A lot of times when I'll come across a camp, like, say, in Poganet.
360 Santa Cruz on yellow.
60, go ahead.
Are you code 4?
I am.
10-10.
I'll come across a camp in Poganeth, and it's quite clear that these people aren't going to be able to pack up and be out of there in 24 hours, mm-hmm. which is what we would like them to be. But I'll say, all right, how long is it seriously going to take you to get out of here? And they'll say, a day. All right, I'll tell you what, I'll give you 2 days to get out, pack everything up, take everything.
How often does that work?
About 50% of the time.
And do you give them a destination, or do you just say leave?
We have no destination to give them other than right here. So it's just, they'll ask me, and I can't tell them where they can camp, because I do not know any place they can officially camp other than here. And I don't want to give somebody conflicting information, say you can go camp over there, and then have an officer write them a ticket for being over there, because it's like setting them up. I feel like I would be setting them up.
You would be. So. And that often happens, from what I hear from accounts from homeless people.
Well, what we're also doing is that we're taking on a more... You know, we're not going to be citing people for sleeping outdoors. We're not going to be citing people for simply trying to exist.
But if they're in a park after dark, you are citing them.
It depends on the park. Depends on the issues. But also, if somebody's got a large tent set up or something like that in Poganep or something like that, yes, we've got to move that encampment along. They may get cited for that encampment being there. But they're not going to get cited for, you know, again, we'll try to work with them to give them time to get their stuff and get out.
When did the Ross come to Ross as an alternative begin to happen officially by Parks and Rec, where you could actually say, try Ross?
I don't know exactly when that switch was made, but it's been that way for at least a month.
At least a month.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to let you get back to your work.
Thank you.
And I'll get back to whatever I'm doing.
Okay.
And again, we've been talking with
John Ross Kelly.
And if folks want more information about what Parks and Rec is up to, who can they contact? Where should they go?
I would just say go to the Parks and Rec website. I couldn't tell you exactly who to contact because they've changed directors. They have a new director there now, too.
So, Tony Elliott?
I'm not sure. It sounds about right. But
I think he replaced... Well, Garcia was replaced by Carol Skurich, who was replaced by Tony Elliott.
Yeah, I think that's the route it went. But yeah, talk.
You could
to them.
Be next. You could be the new boss.
maybe that's not exactly what I'm looking for.
Pay grade goes out.
Pay grade, exactly. But again, I mean, they've got a lot of things they have to deal with. So at the end of the day. You know, it's
you get to deal with real people here rather than other bureaucrats.
Well, that's it. And to be quite honest, if I had the desk job of being the director, I wouldn't be able to be out here
chatting with me.
Chatting with you and chatting with the people here in the park.
I'd come to your office. We interviewed Tony Elliott too. So thank you.
I got to be honest. I mean, some of these people out here I've known for a few years, and they're actually good people. And some of them I have a really good rapport.
Homeless
with.
People, good people. What's wrong
Absolutely.
With you? Are you crazy?
No. Just because you don't have a home doesn't mean you're a bad person. Now, coming to my garage, steal my bicycle, that might make you a bad person.
Dress and a bicycle, I could... we won't get into that. Thank you, John. I appreciate the time. And if you want, you can hear this. It'll be archived on Free Radio. It's not going on the radio right now. Our transmitter is down here. That is a mercy for you. But it is going to go on a stream. And people who want to hear it, yourself included, can actually find it by going to the website.
Okay, very good.
You can hear yourself.
All right.
It's pretty exciting.
I used to be in radio myself, actually,
really?
Once upon a time.
What radio?
I was down in the San Francisco Bay Area. I started off in a high school radio station, worked a couple of radio stations in the Bay Area after that, back in the 80s. So,
well, you can get if you want to pay into the rent of Free Radio, you can too become a broadcaster on our pirate station. So,
well, believe me, I know how well radio doesn't pay, unfortunately.
You don't pay nothing. You pay us.
I did a lot of volunteer work at other radio stations once upon a time, but it's a good forum. It's a good media outlet, and like I said, some of these people out here are good people. They just have a bad situation, and. You know, help the ones we can help, the ones who want to help, and the rest.
Do what you can, keep it up, and, you know, the more facilities out here, the better, I think.
Well, I think so, too. But, again, also, we gotta work on the other stuff, too, the litter and the needles and stuff. Now, if another sharps container or sharp box out here would probably be a good idea for needles.
Yeah.
Give them somewhere to put them.
Extra washing stations, extra porta-potties, extra trash pickups.
Yeah.
You know, I could think of other things if I worked at it.
Yeah.
I'll leave it there. Thank you, John.
All righty. Thank you very much.
All right.
Take care.
And unfortunately, you hear me kind of catering to the nice guy. I'm the nice guy interviewer talking to the reasonable Parks and Rec guy, which is how it sounds. The trouble is that most of the work of Parks and Rec is not helping out people in the parks. It's helping them leave or helping them get citations at different points. I don't know that there actually has been the kind of official shift in policy as was happening last year under Mauro Garcia that had Parks and Rec people essentially facilitating people in parks or at least leaving them alone after dark. That remains to be seen, and perhaps if I get my energy up, I don't see it happening immediately, but we're getting more volunteers over at Huff to do this. Maybe we'll look at some of the Parks and Rec citations for the last few months and see if they've dropped off their nasty stay away and stay out of the parks approach. Next up is the City Council and my commentary and questions about City Council members as they all kind of crowded together for the great celebration of the new City Council on Tuesday night. This, of course, was the time when they refused to present an emergency ordinance that would help tenants weather the vacation without eviction threat or reality. And that, of course, is the great sin to me and the great crime and the great, essentially, revelation. It's not really much of a revelation. It's what I expected of the pseudo-progressives who call themselves progressives, including Drew, who also had the opportunity to make such a presentation. If he said he didn't know how to do it, he damn well should have, because I'm sure that the matter came up at least in passing among other people. If it didn't, I'm quite surprised. I certainly brought it up repeatedly. And I may have even brought it up to him individually, but I'm not sure about that. Anyway, let's listen in. And that'll be it for this edition of Bathrop Spears Broadsides. Call me at 423-4833 if you have questions, news breaking, or if you want to be in part of the Free Radio Collective, or if you have any information about a 10x10 site for us to set up a studio or locate a transmitter. They could be two different places. In fact, we prefer they would be
and there's a reward of $300 to find such a spot. Talk to you again on Sunday, or talk at you again on Sunday at 9:30 in the morning, assuming I have the energy and the will to do so. Cheers. So it's about 5 to 7 in the Santa Cruz City Council Chambers. I wouldn't say it's packed, but the seats are all filled, and a lot of familiar faces.
I am here for a similar reason, except he's not a buddy yet.
I think last 2 years ago, when there was an earlier coronation, there were more folks kind of crowding into the aisles and spilling outside.
Oh, yeah.
So we'll see if anything happens tonight. I suspect nothing will. But we'll see what we'll see. A lot of old-timers, some youngsters. The Chief of Police is here. I'm sorry.
No worries.
Am I trotting on you? Luckily, you've got some protection.
Yeah.
I speak with Drew Glover, a new council member, and asked him if he was putting it on the agenda. He gave me a smile and a shine on. So it's hard to say what actually is going to be happening. What do you think, Nate? Any comments? He smiles and says nothing at the moment. Okay. Here is. It's just a feel-good celebration, which I guess is all right. I don't know. Or is it any more substance to be done?